She's just a girl and she's on fire. Hotter than a fantasy, lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire. Filled with catastrophe, but she knows she can fly away. Welcome to a brand new podcast called Beyond Thin Mints. I'm your host this week, Rachel, and this is the launch of a new podcast that's about life as a troop leader. I'm sitting here with Rochelle, my Girl Scout troop co-leader.
Hi, I'm happy to be here.
Rochelle and I have been troop leaders together for how long now?
I think it's been 13 years already.
Oh my gosh. Rochelle and I have had two groups of girls go through our troop, the OG or original 6102, they're getting ready to graduate from college, and then our current group, which they're about to be seniors in high school, which I can't even believe.
Me neither, Rachel. It feels like it was yesterday, and these girls were in kindergarten. I remember when CJ and Izzy were hanging out with the original OG 6102, and they weren't even old enough yet to be scouts.
I do remember that, too. Girl Scouts has been a lot of fun, but also Girl Scouting is a great way for girls to develop their leadership skills and to become socially conscious. In Girl Scouts, we do these things called leadership journeys. In these journeys, the girls discover, connect, and take action, meaning they discover their own values, knowledge, and skills to explore the world. They team up with others and connect, and then they take action to make the world a better place.
Exactly, Rachel. And each journey has a specific focus. Our girls worked on a journey called It's Your World, Change It. This journey focused on exploring issues in our own communities and the wider world, taking action to make a positive change. As a troop, we've really been exploring the difference between volunteerism and advocacy work.
Rochelle, do you remember when the girls were younger and we actually did this very journey and they were worried about pets of homeless? They organized a pet food drive, and then we donated it to our local food pantry, and that was volunteerism. It was definitely easier than trying to figure out how to do advocacy work.
Yes, no kidding. Our girls have really learned a lot in this journey. We started out by meeting with people who do advocacy work for a living, and we really explored what it means to advocate. Then we explored issues that we feel strongly about. Ends up, our girls are quite the humanitarians, and they wanted to bring voice and understanding to what different groups of students will struggle with at school. We couldn't really narrow down to one topic, so we decided to advocate for all topics.
So today we're going to be hearing from our scouts about three different populations in schools and what schools are doing to help keep them safe. Those populations are immigrant students, students in the LGBTQIA+ community, and we'll hear what schools are doing to help students navigate their own mental health. Let's listen to what Izzy has learned in her interview.
I'm Izzy. I'm part of Troop 6102, and I'm sitting with a principal in a middle school. We will be discussing immigration and how it affects the schooling system. What is the biggest issue you face concerning the safety of your students who are immigrants?
I think the biggest issue that we face, and thank you, Izzy, for being here with me.
The
biggest issue that we face is making sure that the students feel safe to come to school every mm-hmm. single day, and that mm-hmm. they can be in a safe space where they feel ready to learn. There's a lot of stressful things going out there on around them, and we want to mm-hmm. make sure they know that when they come to school, this can sort of be like an oasis of peace and just focus on mm-hmm. the learning in themselves and not have to worry about those other things going on out there.
Do you think it affects them, like, their education here at the school? Like, what's going on outside? Like,
yeah, I think it absolutely does, because, I mean, they have a lot of pressure and a lot of worry going on, because they're not only for themselves but for their family members. They mm-hmm. they may in fact be here legally, but if they mm-hmm. have family that's not, there's a lot of pressure and unseen worry that they have to deal with. And so anything we can do to kind of focus on their social emotional health and making sure they know that we are a safe space for them is important.
Yeah. Kind of following up with that, it's a pretty simple question, mm-hmm. but I think we could get an answer easily, but do you know any immigrants?
Yes. Yeah.
And have they positively or negatively affected your life?
I mean, I would say positively. I mean, we the community that we live in, you know, is a border community. So there's lots of comings and goings. And I think that's one of the things that, that diversity and that multiculturalism, I think, is what makes our country great and strong. And I think it's enriched my life to be able to know immigrants. Yeah.
Do you think that it's positively affected this school? And if so, like, how so?
I think anytime you have a diversity of opinions or experiences, that makes for just a better learning environment for everyone. You don't want to get into that tunnel vision where you're only, or groupthink where you're only hearing one idea. Mm-hmm. I think that difference of perspective matters quite a bit.
Yeah, there's so many different cultures here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's inevitable.
Yeah.
You might as well just embrace it.
I think so, yeah.
Kind of to follow up, how do you make the children feel safe here?
I think, honestly, it starts with the front office and with the teachers. It's the adults that they're going to interact with day to day. They have to know that those teachers are there and have their back when they come in. It's, you know, making sure that, like, the front office staff is friendly and welcoming. And it's making sure that when they're feeling stressed or an issue's popping up, that they feel heard and listened to. And that we can't do that. We have fabulous teachers here, and they are the ones that make that happen every day.
I mean, at the end of the day, they're just like any other kid.
Yeah.
If you're born here in America, whether you're born across the ocean, I mean, they're all the same.
Kids are kids, yes. They want that. Yeah. They all want to feel safe and cared for and
kids
loved,
will be kids, no matter who you are, we all bleed the same. What has been the hardest factor of helping, like, these children acclimate to, like, this middle school, or like, what do you think might keep them from feeling safe outside of this, like, enclosure that you've made here,
that's
the safe space?
That's a really good question. And I, you know, I've talked to a couple of them. Sometimes I think the size of the campus is what gets it. There's a lot of children here, and it can, I'm sure it can feel a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
And just, you know, that we don't have a huge immigrant population here. So I think sometimes, you know, trying to find your people or people that have had similar experiences, that might be hard. Sometimes. So we really try to make sure they feel connected with someone, but I'm sure that just kind of the hustle and bustle of like a large school can be challenging.
The trends, the popular kids.
All
do you think that do you think that maybe like that's like supported by like making sure that they have someone who's like by like the classrooms and the classes that they take?
I think so. So we have a kind of a home base, a class that they go to for 2 hours where they're a person is kind of their trusted adult. And I think that is what makes a big difference for them. And so they know, even if I'm not feeling great at lunch or it's a little too much going on, they have a person that they know that that's the safe space, their home base that they can go to and get the help.
That's pretty much all the questions I have for you. Kind of just like concluding, it doesn't seem like these children are anything other than the children that are born here.
I mean, think kids are kids, and it doesn't really matter where you come from. The needs are fairly similar. You know, sometimes there's more, sometimes there's less, but the kids are kids.
Yeah, this is a great thing you're doing here, making sure that they're safe. And
I wish I could take all the credit, but the reality is it truly takes a village, and it's the staff that works here that really makes that happen.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was really interesting. I love that schools recognize how hard it can be for students to come to our country, but also to acknowledge that kids are just kids. Now let's hear what Casey discovered with the LGBTQIA+ population in schools.
Hi, I'm Casey from Troop 6102, and I'm here interviewing a teacher from a middle school who heads up the GSA, or Gay Straight Alliance Club. Welcome.
Hi, glad to be here.
Okay, to start off, the first question for today is, what is the single biggest issue you face concerning kids who are LGBTQIA+ at schools?
Well, at our school, I feel like the biggest issue they're facing right now is misgendering and using dead names that they don't like being used anymore. Once it's dead, that's the way they want it. And just kids pointing things out and not making them feel like, you know, they're just normalized people. They just want to be seen, but not seen as different.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. The next question was, how does the school work with parents regarding issues with students?
So they are willing to let kids change their name on PowerSchool, and any problems reported that kids have, they can report to teachers, administration, counselors. They even have it in the sixth grade camp forms where kids can choose for gender, they could put X, and they allow that, so they make certain accommodations when they go to camp.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then what can other students do to help out those who are feeling like you said, how some students aren't respecting them and how they want to be identified?
Well, I really feel like they can just really educate themselves, get informed, really try to really use proper pronouns, because that's usually seems to be the issue, the mm-hmm. biggest issue.
And is there anything that the schools can help with those issues?
For some of those issues, as far as pronouns, obviously at the beginning of the year, teachers can ask students their pronouns and use them properly in the classroom so that other students hear them. Have kids tell their pronouns at the beginning of the year so other kids know. Also, some of the other things is having more unisex bathroom options. In the PE area, they have sectionalized areas with shower curtains, but they want more locations. A lot of the kids request that they want closer to their class, a place they can go that's closer to their classroom, not all the way across campus.
Mm-hmm. And kind of going along with that, how can the school help the students feel supported?
Well, some of the things we do here at the school, we have a flag raising ceremony for Pride Month or for Pride History Month. Teachers having safe space signs in their room to show that they're welcome. We do the Day of Silence once a year, so teachers, admin, other students can support that way. Also, just maybe possibly having more counselors that are more familiar with issues that kids that are part of the LGBT community face. I think that would make them feel more comfortable, and they have expressed that they don't feel as comfortable talking to counselors.
Mm-hmm. Are there ever any conversations amongst the teachers and staff regarding the safety and inclusion of students?
Well, a lot of teachers, sometimes things will happen in a lesson where kids will bring up, for instance, if it's a lesson about somebody who's gay, something like that, and a kid might shout out something that's totally inappropriate, a teacher can use that as a teaching moment to talk about inclusivity, and we don't, you know, tolerate things like that here. We did have a time where we, after certain things happened, and I shouldn't say that, but we wore safety pins to show kids that they were safe on campus. Coming to the flag raising ceremonies, you know, we do reading announcements on some of those days, like the Day of Silence. For Pride History Month, we read announcements so all kids can hear those things. So staff can be part of the whole idea of inclusivity on campus.
Okay. And I know you had mentioned that you had like some unisex bathrooms, but aside from that, are there any policies in place regarding bathroom access for students?
We do have access to bathrooms in both the library and in the nurse's office. But as I stated before, that was one of the issues that we talked to our GSA club a lot about, is if they're all the way across campus, they have to use the restroom. Those are the only two places, and they're, you know, they have to run really fast or they just can't go. Mm-hmm. So they would like more options for that. But they do have access to a couple bathrooms.
And then the last question I have today is, has the school experienced any resistance to proposed policies, if there are any, regarding transgender students or those in the LGBTQ community?
Well, we haven't really had too many issues this year, honestly. As far as certain policies in place, some kids feel uncomfortable with the climate of our country at the moment, where they feel like their rights might be taken away. Mm-hmm. But our school, as far as our school goes, we haven't really had specific problems with policies, but in our weekly GSA meetings, kids do gay news, mm-hmm. and they usually will read something that's going on in the news to the kids, and it's really hard to find, as they stated, good gay news lately. So that's some of the resistance that kids in our GSA club is dealing with now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for joining me today. That's all I have.
Thank you for having me.
Boy, being in middle school sounds more complicated than I remember. I am so glad that there are adults that are supportive of all kids and provide safe spaces for students. You know, in our meetings with our girls, we talked about how much COVID issues surrounding acceptance and how even politics have impacted students. CJ explores this issue for us now.
Hello, I'm CJ from Troop 6102, and I have here I'm speaking with a middle school therapist.
Hi, CJ.
And today we're going to be talking about mental health and what that means for schools and students' mental health, and I have a couple questions that I'm going to ask her. First question, what is the largest issue that you face concerning mental health at school?
There's a couple of issues that are most prevalent as far as symptoms for people in middle school and high school. I think that would be anxiety and depression, just because there's a lot of changes going on in life, and mm-hmm. we know that that's really common during periods of transition.
And then another question to add on to that, what can we do as students and parents to help with these problems?
That's a great question. There's a lot of resources, like from school district level, specifically for San Diego Unified, there are resources online. There's the Mental Health Resource Center. There's a great page around youth in transition for one of our most at-risk populations, which is our LGBTQIA group. I think one of the biggest things to remember is just to stay open, and that's both for parents and for kids, right? So it can be really hard to talk about these symptoms and emotions when they come up, and having some open dialogue around it is going to be the best way to get support, to get help, and to access all the other resources that are in the community. There's a lot out there.
How important is it for students to have access to these programs, or like to have access to being able to speak up about stuff like that?
Super important, right? So like education and awareness is one of the key things, because what anxiety and depression often tell us when we're experiencing that is that we're alone and that we're the only ones experiencing it. So awareness, education, like having access through schools is really key too, because like as students, you guys are here every day. You spend oftentimes more time at school than you do with any other at home or in other activities. And so like being able to access school counselors and therapists at school is really important. It's a main community that we're a part of.
Right. And then this is kind of in a different vein, but what do you do specifically? Like, what is your role that you play with students' mental health?
Right. So I'm a licensed, my license is licensed clinical social worker, and I work specifically with a program called mental health related services, or in some districts it's called educationally related mental health services, that is specific to an IEP. So mm-hmm. students with special education needs can also access mental health support as a part of their IEP, which is really powerful because some reasons that you might qualify for an IEP also can very highly put you at risk for mental health issues too. So not that you have to have those correlate, but it does help.
All right, and then can you share any success stories you have, or like, you don't have to say anything specific or in detail, just mm-hmm. anything that that's really stuck with you from your career working with students and their mental health?
Yeah, I think I feel most successful when I formed like a really strong relationship and rapport with students. So it's not always about the outcomes. It's about students telling me that they feel supported, that they have some place to be open and honest. And I'm very lucky, and I guess that's a measure of success for me. I feel successful in that I get to have a lot of those good relationships with students. Specifically, we have a student graduating this year that was at one of my high schools that I work at. And when she came to the high school, she was having a lot of suicidality, was unsafe, was not really even wanting to be alive. And now she's a senior. This is like 2 years later. She's a senior, she's graduating, and she's got plans for furthering her education and is feeling really hopeful about life. So that felt like a really good, strong win for the whole team and me too, as part of the team, to help her be successful in life.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much for speaking with me today. I think that was very insightful.
In our podcast description, we've included some of the links that were mentioned just now in that interview. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Beyond Thin Mints, a podcast where we look beyond the sashes at the stories that make Girl Scouting so unique. Next time, join us with Izzy, who will be talking about her Gold Award project.